Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast, where top football coaches from around the country share their stories, philosophies, concepts, and strategies to help you get better on and off the field. Now, here's your host, Keith Grabowski.
Welcome to another deep dive on defense on USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. And joining me again on the podcast, the repeat performer, the defensive coordinator at Rolls-Hommel Institute of Technology, Nick Davis. Nick, great to have you back on the podcast.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to talk some football with you today.
Well, Nick, they say that necessity is the mother of invention, and you were sharing with me a story of a team completely taking your best linebacker, your Mike linebacker, out of the game by the way you were checking the front. They figured it out. And from that, though, you came up with a very multiple way of being able to get into different fronts, set your fronts, and yet at the same time, while it would appear complex for an offense, it's very simple for how your defense has learned it, and really kind of plays into the whole evolving philosophy of defenses of hybrid defenders or even positionless defense.
You know, I always feel that when you lose football games, you learn more from that than what you do necessarily when you win. So, you know, the way we were setting our four down front for this given game, you know, I was putting our guy always to the tailback because he was a great athlete and their quarterback was a pretty good guy on zone read. Well, their quarterback just handed it off every time and kind of took him out of the football game. And I'm sitting there at the end of the game thinking, man, we really, for this game, had only one way to set a four down front. So going into that off season, the 2016 season, I thought us being a 3-3 personnel team that gets into 3-4, 5-6 down fronts, even some 2 down fronts, is I need to have a way within a game to be able to put that linebacker wherever. And it's kind of evolved to a great system where we have categories and word association, and it's pretty relatively easy for us to get into whatever kind of look that we want, regardless of who the player is on paper.
What I've found, Nick, is that defensive coaches seem to be studying not just what the offense is doing, but how they're doing it too, and really learning from some of those conceptual ideas to be able to apply it. And for you, it's something that you said you picked up from your former offensive coordinator and offensive line coach, Brian White.
Yeah, no, I spent my first 3 seasons here coaching offense, and I'd been a defensive guy, and that's probably the most I've grown as a coach was in those 3 seasons. And, you know, he talked to me, he's like, a defense can be in all these different fronts, and if the offense is running inside zone, essentially at the end of the play, everyone's going to end up in the same spot. And I think definitely that is true. And I thought I could use that same philosophy and be able to line up in 3-4, 5-6 down fronts, and be able to have a set of movement rules that every one of the 6 players in our box, and I didn't break those rules, that those guys would end up at the end of the play exactly where I wanted them, regardless of how we started. So one unique thing that we kind of took from him is our offense would yell in the formation because we're a no huddle, and that was just a quick way to get the play started. On defense, I yell in our front to kind of mirror what our offense has done. Eliminates the signal, allows me not to have 75 different signals for our front, and I could care less, you know, if you know what front I'm in to begin the play, because most of the time we are going to move from that front into something else.
What I think is pretty neat about this is the way that it comes together, and it becomes a system which is easy for your players to learn. And I just think back to, you know, how we put our formation system together and got away from, you know, being very rote memorization and how we would learn these to something that started to work more conceptually, so that if you understood certain parts of that, you could actually understand the whole thing. And because you understood the whole thing, it was easier for you to be able to play multiple positions if you were a receiver, but even, you know, to take your backs and align them in certain positions, et cetera, became simple for us to do. As a coach, what I noticed is that because I had this simpler system, it expanded the way I could think about and call a game, because it took all of that load off of me too, and having to memorize all these different names for all these different things, that starts to become difficult for a coach, not just the coach, but the player as well.
Yeah, and I think it's really nice for us. A lot of offensive coordinators you'll talk about matchups, matching up their best guy, whether he's an outside or inside receiver, maybe against a bad defender. Well, everything we do on our defense is we want to create a matchup. So if our outside linebacker is the fastest, best pass rusher on our team, we want to be able to get that guy against your worst pass blocking offensive lineman and be able to get our best cover guy against your best wide receiver. So it kind of plays off of how an offensive coordinator wants to attack using matchups. Well, we want to attack using matchups here on the defensive side.
And coach, there's kind of three, I think, big boxes here that we're going to talk about. One is how you get into these different fronts and the terminology, the structure you created there. The other is the way you're able to check your fronts, that you have eight different ways to set the front, not just tied to one, which I think is an advantage for you, because that's one of the things I'm always looking for as an offensive coach, is how are they setting their front. And then away from, after you do that, to be able to move and use those movements across all these different fronts in a way that, again, your players can kind of be in just about any one of those positions and understand where they need to get to and what that stunt becomes. So let's start with the beginning, that first box of how do we align these guys? What creates the structure for the alignment in 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 man front?
Yeah, so essentially for us, because we are 3-3 personnel, and we're not really necessarily tied into that. I mean, we finished the season really 2-4 personnel-ish, and we're going to have some kids play defensive line on paper that have been linebackers for us, but it's essentially just finding the best fit for us. But everything for us starts with our three-down fronts, and our three-down fronts is a bird category. So every single one of our three-down fronts is going to be named after some type of bird. The first letter of that bird is going to tell essentially our Bob linebacker, who has traditionally been our best linebacker, where to go. So the people, just real quick, you know, so everyone doesn't get lost. We have a Bob linebacker who is traditionally in, you know, a field boundary defense is your boundary linebacker. We have a Will and a Mike. We have a nose, a tackle, and then our kind of our hybrid defense alignment is the Fred, which our D linemen think that's really cool because we essentially talk to them like they're linebackers. So our Bob and Fred are most alike, but the Bob's more linebacker-ish and the Fred's more defensive end-alike. But essentially for us, everyone travels together. So our Bob and tackle and our three-down stuff will travel together. The Fred and the Mike travel together, the nose and the Will. So Falcon for us starts with an F, telling us that we want our Bob and our tackle in a odd stack to the field. Buzzard starts with a B, telling us that we want those guys to the boundary. We may go into a game where we might be all Falcon, or we might be all Buzzard, or we might mix in based on different situations, but it just allows us to set the front field boundaries, kind of the first way that we talk to our guys. And then day one install, we're going to install all of these fronts with our guys and work on all of them. And once they know the system, it's pretty easy. Albatross is a bird. So some of this stuff gets a little far-fetched because I have to tie in a letter to the system. And our offense calls the tailback the A. So Albatross starts with an A. We're putting our tackle and our Bob to the tailback, the A. Yap is a type of bird, I guess. I found out quickly, a few Google searches. So we're putting our tackle and our Bob to the Y. Raven starts with an R, telling us to put our tackle and our Bob to the right side of the defensive formation. Lark, telling us to put the tackle and the Bob to the left side. And we really use those more on passing situations if we know that there is a weaker right or left tackle that we want to go after. So we'll call in Raven and Lark to go after that guy or maybe a weaker guard. Hawk starts with an H, so here's our first real big adjustment. So those first six I talked about are just 5-0-5s with stack backers. So Hawk now starts with an H, and we're going to tell all the defensive linemen to be head up. And then IBIS starts with an I. We're telling those guys to be four eyes and a nose. So right there, we have eight different ways to kind of set a three down front, and we can kind of get to whatever we need. Within our rules, we'll say, hey, default hawk this week, let's set it to the field, or let's set it to the A. And same thing with the IBIS. That way we're not creating a bunch more names. But I feel that our guys can think in kind of eights. So I've limited it to just really eight things in our bird front. Then off of that, which we just created this year, is we've always been a six team in the box. Never really break that unless we're going to play certain coverages. But I found that I wanted to make it easier on our linebackers and not have them always memorize what coverage needed to take them out of the box. So we created a tree and flower system, because birds like to live in trees or frequent flowers. So we've used that same first letter terminology, and that has created a five-man box within our odd stuff. So we can get our will linebacker out of the box for certain coverage things. So things we've came up with was fir and birch and ash and redwood and lilac and ivy and hickory. So we've created a system now to tell our linebacker, hey, fir is just like falcon. We're just going to get the will out of the box, and then we can play whatever coverage off of that. So that's kind of where we've monstered to this offseason. I'm always trying to create a system that's easier on our guys. What we found was sometimes the younger kids didn't know necessarily when we wanted to play cover two that they need to get out of the box. So we've created a system that now tells them, hey, we're going to be a three down front, but let's only have five linebackers in the box. So that's our...
What were those trees again? You had fir and birch, which sets that to the field or boundary. You had...
ash.
You had ash or...
U is Y-E-U. It's about the only type of tree we found that started with a Y. And if anyone has suggestions, they're more than welcome to let me know, because we've gone to an extensive search. Redwood to the right, lilac to the left, hickory is our head-up five-man box, and then ivy is our five-man with the four eyes.
Got it. So the first letter started to create the structure. And then kind of the thematic, you know, right now we've talked about birds and then trees and flowers. And so the birds set your six-man box, the tree and flower removes the will.
Yes.
All right, good. I'm following you, Coach. And let's keep moving on here. I like this.
Well, we were talking at the AFCA convention, and we were talking six down fronts with a group of guys, and a guy said, whoa, 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 let me get out my notepad. I'm going to take some notes on this, because we were talking, and we'll get to our six down stuff. So all of our four down fronts were named after fish. So Flathead told us that we were going to put our bob to the field, and it also told us that our three technique, our tackle, was going to travel with the bob, and he was going to be – so we were going to have a five and a three technique. By default, we like to play a 2-eye with our nose, and the Fred goes opposite. So that was Flathead. The opposite of Flathead is Bass, so we have a 5-technique bob to the boundary, and our 3-technique tackle is to the boundary. So we don't use really that a lot, Flathead and Bass, but that's kind of where we've started our system. What we'll use more is anchovy starts with an A, so we're putting our bob and our tackle to the A. Remember, that's the tailback, and our 2-eye is away. We then have the ability yoke starts with a Y. So we're, and again, Y tight end. We teach our guys all day one, hey, the Y is our offense's tight end. The A is our offense's tailback. So we only talk to our guys really in Y and A terminology. So the Y gets your traditional over front. You get our bob to the tight end. We get our 3-technique to the tight end, and our 2-eye is away. We also have red fin and long fin. So now we can get our 3-technique to the right and to the left with our bob linebacker. We'll like that for third down again, stunts. If there's a weaker side, or we know the man side's always going to be the right or the left, we'll use red fin or long fin to figure out exactly how we want to attack those fronts. And then kind of our two adjustments we will use is our goldfish telling us that our tackle and our nose are both outside the guard 3-technique. So it's our double 3-technique. Eyed tells us that our tackle and our nose are both two eyes, because I telling you, you're inside the guard. So the way we talk to our guys is, hey, Goldfish, G-O, you're outside the guard. Hey, I'd, you're inside the guard. So we just created a system, and that's a quick way for us to set our four down fronts really eight different ways.
Now, Coach, I know you got really smart guys there. They're going to be engineers. I've never heard of a yoke or an eyed before. Wait, do you show them pictures, or how do you get them to associate that those are fish?
Yes, we'll show them pictures, and then you'll hear our guys that first week, they'll go, yoke, fish. So we do a drill, movement on cans. So we yell out all these crazy animals or our categories, and we yell out our movements, and our guys go through it. But the young guys, as they're going through it, they'll be like, yoke, fish, or albatross, birds. So they're kind of, at the end of the day, they know, well, this is kind of the front family. So yes, they are super smart, but even our kids with 30 ACTs are sitting there being yoke, fish, and trying to remember that yoke is a fish. And where we found this was, at the end of the day, even if there's four freshmen out there and they don't know exactly how to set our front, if they know that flathead is a fish, we're going to have four guys on the line of scrimmage. If you're a nose guard in our system and you know the word is a bird, you know that you're going to be a zero technique nose. So it's, you know, we can, ideally we want you to know everything within our system, but if you know the category, it's pretty hard to really mess up the whole front structure. So kind of off of our four down, we then piggyback to our two down stuff. And we like this again out of our 2-4 personnel, but we can play this out of anything we have. And we've just taken those fronts, flathead and bass, and the two down stuff is mammals. So fox and boar are flathead and bass, but now instead of having a tight five technique, we have a stand up apex five between our Bob and our Fred. So fox telling us Bob's going to the field. Our three technique is to the field. Boar telling us that Bob is going to the boundary. Our three technique is to the boundary. Now, this allowed us essentially getting to a even tight front in my mind when we get down to some of the other different fronts out of a four down look. And then we have rules that if there's an attached tight end or a Y off, that you're no longer an apex five player between that tackle and the next extended receiver. You come and you're essentially a wide nine tech. So antelope starts with an A, so we set that to the A. Yak starts with a Y, so we set it to the Y. Rabbit to the right, lion to the left. Goat, we get our double three techniques. Impala, we get our two eyes. Now, with all these fronts, I don't like everything. Like Impala is pretty crazy if it's 10 personnel and you have double two eyes and you have wide linebackers if you get Baylor split. So there's certain things I don't like, but we'll teach it so the kids understand the whole system.
Yeah, and I think that's the important part. When you're putting together any kind of structure, you want to have that ability to say, we're probably not going to use this right now. I don't like it right now, but you never know. At some point in the future, you might have the need for that, and now you're not back to the drawing board saying, what do we need to do this? So you start from the standpoint of how do we align in anything? That's what we did with our formation system. I mean, there was a lot for us. We even went to the idea of, you know, how do we create a three back or, you know, quarterback, including that four back offense. We had no plans to use it, but how do we do that? So, you know, those are things you want to think about just because it gives you the ability to evolve, right? Instead of having to recreate new things, it just allows you to evolve. You might not use it. You understand the structure. Understanding the different ways to do it helps you actually understand the big picture.
Yep. And then from there, we've started working on, actually was starting to work on this today, is our reptiles are going to be our four down fronts that gets our will out of the box to create a five man box. So just a few we've came up with was alligator was the set to the A, and rattlesnake and lizard and gecko and iguana. For our, if any listeners out there have any suggestions on a F reptile, let me know, because it's very, very bleak is what it's looking like. So we're going to have to maybe find a fictional character in a movie or something that has an F name. But so that's kind of our four and two down front structure. Kind of the last thing in a normal world, I think, that we did is our insect front. To me, this kind of all goes back to Coach White as well. He's going to consider a odd front, a front where the you have a zero on the nose. So what I wanted to do was kind of take advantage of that logic of his, because I know a lot of O-line coaches will think similar to that. So what we did was create these, they're essentially fake 3-4 down fronts, and fly for us an insect. So we'll put our bob and our wide five to the field. We have a 4-eye with our tackle, so he is a 4-eye to the field. We will shade our nose and then play a 5 on the backside. So we're a wide 5, 4-eye, boundary shade, and a 5. So this allowed us to kind of live in our 4-down world, but maybe some coaches, offensive coaches, might block this odd protection. We'll go into a game with some of these fronts and try to see what we can get. And we really like these type of fronts against maybe the jet read, where we can get our wide 5 linebacker away from the tailback if they're going to hand those plays off on the perimeter. So that was kind of our insect fronts: fly, beetle, ant, yellow jacket, roach, lice. And then we had wasp, which gives us the ability to switch so we can get our bob, apex 5 player, to the tailback and our 4-eye to the tailback so we can do some different things. So that is our, we consider our fake 3-4 down, and we like to use that stuff as well. So kind of the next where we evolved is, so the 4-down, 2-down stuff is a day 2 install. We install all this stuff in 4 days, and we try to go as fast as possible in terms of install. So day 3 install for us is going to be our 5-down fronts. Here our categories are vegetables and spices. So what the first letter talks to in these fronts are our defensive linemen. So we are going to have our carrot starts with the C, telling us that our Fred and our tackle are going to be the 5 technique players, which is the C gap. Our Mike and Bob will be 3 techniques, and our Will is always going to match up against the tailback right over him, and we'll have a 0 nose. And our Will's generally our better cover guy of the crew, so he's at 5 yards over the tailback. So that's carrot. Beat's going to tell us that we're going to put our Fred and our tackle in the B gap, which now if you're, you know, the nose is a 0 and your Fred and the tackle's in the B, well now the Mike and the Bob are C gap players. So it's kind of a process of elimination. We're going to tell 2 guys where they're at and the other 2 guys figure out from there. So that's kind of our base way to get into our bear fronts. And why we carry both of those is if we're going to play bear and we're getting a lot of zone read and we want our defensive ends to always be the quarterback player, we'll have that. Or B, to have a better athlete, the Mike or the Bob, be the quarterback player. So then 2 of the newer vegetables that we got into this year was turnip and horseradish. And this allowed us to kind of get into the tight front. So turnip telling us that our Fred and our tackle are going to be 4 eyes on the tackle, and our Mike and our Bob were walk up on the line of scrimmage apex 5 players. So we were in a 5-down front, but we're kind of playing that in vogue tight front. Why I like that is I was watching a lot of film, the tight front, and if your tackle really has no threat to kick to on a pass situation, they just go double team that 4-eye. So putting our Mike and our Bob on the line of scrimmage, regardless if we're rushing 5 or 3, it made that tackle kick out to those guys, which allowed us to rush 3 and kind of get 3 one-on-ones with the O-line, or we could rush, you know, 4 and 5 and get our one-on-ones that way. So turnip was inside the tackle. Horseradish, again, starts with an H, being head up. We got to the spices because it confused our kids. And again, we have kids 4.0, 30 ACTs. And when something confuses them, I know I need to change my system a little bit. So spices told us that we were in a 4-down front and a linebacker walked up, our Mike linebacker walked up. So mace for us is a spice. We got in our flathead front and the Mike walks up into the A. Because we used to have calls where we would show it or bluff, and sometimes the linebackers would miss those signals. So we just said, hey, Mace front. It's a spice. It's a four down front. Mike, you're already walked up in the A gap, and we'll just name it. So you guys don't have the excuse of missing the signal. All spice is something that we really like. We set an anchovy front, which is, again, our four down fish. So you know that the bob is to the A and that your three techniques to the A, and the mic walks up down to the A gap. So we're able to do a lot of really cool things in the pass game there. Ginger is our goldfish front. So we have two threes and the mic walks up into the A gap to his side. And then this was a rule breaker for us. Human is a spice. We told them it's like eyed. You're by the center, so you're in double two eyes, and the mic walked up in the B gap. So that was kind of a way for us to get to eliminating a signal, which was good for us because we were missing. We had it tied in with the blitz, and sometimes we'd want to do it, and sometimes we didn't. And I just said at the end of the day, let's create this front, and we're not going to mess it up. We're not going to MA. At the end of the day, everyone's going to be in the right position to run whatever sort of movement we want. So our six down front at our convention, some people were asking me, like, how do you like to set your front in six down? And I said, oh, this is interesting. We have about 12 different ways that we can do it. And this is where the coach was like, let me take some notes. So our six down fronts are all fruit. So apple tells our linebacker, the first letter tells our linebackers where to go, what gap to go to. So apple starts with an A. Our Mike and Will are going to be in the A gap. Our best two pass rushers are Fred and the Bob, so they're going to be C-gap players. So the nose and the tackle just need to know that they're B-gap players. Hey, the Mike and the Will are in the A. The Bob and the Fred are the best pass rushers. They're outside. Process of elimination, there's only one spot for us to go. Banana tells us that a Mike and the Will are in the B-gap. So banana starts with the B. Cherry starts with the C, so we put the Mike and the Will in the C-gap. We'll bump the Bob and the Fred in to be three techniques. And our nose and our tackle will be essentially field and boundary shades or double two eyes based on our situation. So those were the three basic ways for us to do it. And then we got pretty exotic from there. We have a orange front where we just set a normal four down front. And we'll say orange this week is goldfish or orange this week is eyed. Orange is telling our Mike and our Will that they're going to walk up outside of the five techniques. So for us, we would have a wide five, five. Based on the game plan, our two interior guys, five and a wide five, which that has been really good for zone read. That's also really good if you're getting full slide. You're able to bring one guy off an edge and you can drop the other guy. If you're getting full slide, you can bring both of them and get one-on-one with the – or excuse me, two-on-one against that tailback. So those have been really good. If they're going to run it in the B gap, then we're going to zone read exchange. If the tackle tries to take that, we're going to fight across his back. So that's been really good for us, our orange front. And then we had five other main areas that we like to get to. Tangerine, telling us that our Mike and our Will are inside the tackle. Again, that same kind of terminology that we talked about all day. Fred and the Bob are outside edge players. The nose and the tackle are interior guys. And then tangerine is like honeydew. Honeydew telling us our Mike and Will are going to be head up, the nose and the tackler are going to be head up. And we like this front because we'd see a lot of empty and we'd get in our six down front against empty. We would get to where our Mike and our Will would gap read. They would tag the tackles and then bring the Fred and the Bob off the edge. So a lot of times we would get the Fred and the Bob free. The Mike and the Will would tag the tackles, drop out. And we would get two unblocked guys and an empty protection and only rushing four. So we really liked honeydew. We had three sacks on that this year. So we're pretty excited about that. And then we just had ways to overload the front. So Fig and Barry allowed us to put all of our linebackers to the boundary. Barry, Fig, all of our linebackers to the field. And then Apricot was to get all of your linebackers to the A. And again, we can go into a week and we could raspberry or lime, we can do whatever we want, but this kind of sets the foundation on our fourth day of practice of anytime I hear a fruit, I'm going to be on the line of scrimmage. And then when our kids have M8 stuff, that's kind of been the best. We were playing a game against St. John's in Minnesota, and we were in a five down front, and our kid M8 it, and I'm like, I got to put this in the playbook because this is awesome.
Well, Coach, you threw a ton of fronts out there, which absolutely could drive coaches crazy. But, you know, you're probably not going to carry all of those into the game, just like a coach would not carry every single formation into the playbook. So before we get into some of the movements, what kind of things go into your decision-making on what we're going to use in a particular week?
Yeah, so I really go into most of it thinking players, not plays, thinking maybe who the weak link of their offense is or who our best guys are in the right situation. Do we have a linebacker that can handle a tight end? Well, I want that linebacker to the tight end every snap. If he's going to get his butt kicked, I would rather our defense lineman be into that guy. So, again, if they're an 11 personnel team the whole entire game and they don't run zone read, well, we're going to probably bring in a lot of our yap concepts and all of our Y concepts into the game to get certain players at that Y. If they're a 10 personnel team, well, yap's not even going to be on the call sheet that week. And if they happen to play 11 personnel and it's hurting us, it's easy for our guys to get into it because, again, they've learned the terminology, they've learned the system. So I think that's kind of the best thing. We might – my call sheet, there might be two birds, two types of fishes, one mammal, three fruits, four vegetables, one tree on that call sheet. But it's easy for our kids because we constantly, every Sunday, review that on our cans. No matter what we did in the game on that Sunday, that next day, we do movement on cans. And we go through essentially a four-day install on Sunday just to keep all that terminology fresh in our guys' minds.
Coach, in these alignments, do you have a preference for your guys, your linebackers, hand in the dirt, standing up, what they're comfortable with? How do you guys go about that?
Yep. So we teach all the linebackers three down and four down stances. Some of them are hideous at first. Some of them are kind of natural. What we found is the linebackers at first don't want to do it. But then when they get a sack and they're in a three down or a four down stance and they realize that they can explode off and get underneath those tackles, then they kind of buy into those. But it's kind of all on them, and we'll tell them, hey, you and your two-down speed stance always false step. Well, we're not allowing you to do that anymore. You need to work on your three-down stance, and let's get on that because I don't need wasted movement here. So we teach them. They all go with our defensive line coach. They all learn it. And then what I found in some of the five- and six-down stuff, and we're all about the similar size. We're anywhere from 5'10 to 6'2", anywhere from 190 pounds to 240 across the board, is I can get certain matchups on the running back if I put my defensive or if I put my linebacker in a three-point stance, because maybe that line or the running back will identify that linebacker as a down defense lineman, and I might get a nose guard or a three technique on the running back in the backfield. So those are things – of coaching offense that, hey, get down in a three-point stance. Maybe the offensive line will slide to you, and we're going to get a great matchup with a bigger defensive lineman versus the tailback. So we'll go into a game and tell them a little bit like that. Of course, from all of our – and we're going to talk about this in a little bit – from all of our fronts, we can rush one, two, three, four, five, six rushers or seven, actually, technically. So – we'll tell them, hey, if you're always in a two-point and you drop, that's going to key off to that offense, that there's going to be need to be situations where you're dropping from a three-point or four-point stance. So we work on all that stuff with our guys.
So, Coach, as you mentioned, that takes us to the movement. And I imagine the structure of this is going to be something that, for them, is tied to a particular family or concept and helps them understand how to apply these things across all their fishes, trees, vegetables, spices, fruits, insects, mammals, etc. Reptiles. You got reptiles in there too. So how are we moving? How are we keeping it simple for you guys, but complex for the offense?
So yeah, we've created a set of rules, and our guys are all math and science guys. So they know in calc and physics class that those teachers aren't going to break their rules. Well, I'm not going to break the rules as a football coach. We do have one exception, but I want to make their life as easy as possible out on the football field that, hey, we look complex, but it's super easy. Our guys can play super fast. So we've created this rules. We stick to them. If my coaches come up with something cool, I ask them the first thing, how are we going to fit this in our system? I agree. I think this is good. What do we need to call this? Will this make sense to our guys? If it doesn't, then we'd get rid of it. So we are using a word association again. And just really simple M terms for us means that the mic is rushing. If in that word, if the word has a B in it, the Bob is rushing. If the word has a W in it, the Will is rushing. If the term starts with a D, that means a DB is rushing. And I came to this because I was tired of calling DB blitzes and the DBs would never look at the movement signal. They'd always want to blitz, but we would call a DB blitz and they would not rush. So we created words that started with D's that hopefully, even if they did not see the signal, they heard the linebackers say a word that started with a D, that they would have their ears perked up and they would blitz. And since doing that, we have not had a DB miss his blitz. So I think that was something important. So we've used letters in words, and then we've used the number of letters in that word. So we'll start with our three letters. So for us, a word that has three letters in it and is going to tell the Fred and the tackle, no matter what, wherever they started on the field, that they're going to end up in the B gap once the ball is snapped. For the most part, it's going to tell our nose to work away from the first letter of that word. So an example would be mid. Mid has a M in it. It's going to tell the nose to work away from where the mic is. And this is where it becomes pretty important that your nose knows how the front was set. Because our mic isn't always a field player. The mic could be to the boundary. It could be away from the tailback. It could be to the Y. So he needs to know, where is the mic linebacker? He's to the field. I'm going to work to the boundary, for example, in our mid. And then our Fred and our tackle are going to end up in the B gap, which the only guy we haven't talked about is our Bob now. He is on wherever we set the front. He is the C gap player to his side, and our mic is going to rush the C gap. So no matter how we started at the end of the play on mid, our mic's going to be a C gap rusher. Our nose is going to work opposite of him, and our Fred and our tackle are going to end up in the B gaps, regardless if we were 3, 4, 5, 6 down front. So that's kind of our system with three letters. Four letters tells us that our Fred and our tackle, no matter where they started, are going to end up in the C gap. Our nose is, for the most part, there are a few exceptions, are going to work opposite of the first letter of the word. So one of our calls is bike, telling us that our Bob is going to rush the B gap. Our nose is going to work opposite. Our Fred and our tackle are going to end up in the C gap. With our W terms, we will tag words with R's and L's that tell the nose to go right or left. Because in the stack fronts, we found that that's kind of difficult, that the nose doesn't necessarily know where the will is working. So we will make it dummy-proof and tell the nose to go to the right or to the left if we want to bring that will linebacker. And again, we have some exceptions within these four letters, but for the most part, that's our base rule. We're going to stick to it in terms of our four letter. Then we have our five letter movement. The call side defensive end, whoever started in that C gap, is going to long stick down to the A. And here is how we get to America's blitz. The nose guard is going to work opposite that first letter, and our away side player will end up in the C gap. So an example of a five letter movement for us is money. The mic's going to be a C gap rusher. The Fred will long stick down to the A. The nose works to the opposite A, and our tackle will be a C gap player no matter where he started. So if we were in a four down front, say our bass front, our Bob would know, because of it being five letters, that he is a coverage player, even though he is lined up in the boundary C gap. So he needs to figure out what coverage we were playing, and he needs to work with the Will and talk about what sort of adjustment they will be making in coverage. Again, day one, I'm not going to put a freshman in that situation, but our older kids, oh yeah, it's money. I'm the Bob. My letter's not included in that word. I'm a coverage player. Six letters for us tells us that our call side linebacker ends up in the outside gap. Example of that is makeup, six letter word. It has an M in it, telling us our mic's the C gap rusher. The Fred's going to work into the B gap. The nose works opposite of that, and our tackle will be a C-gap player. And then within any of these rules, if that word, say, if the word was BMW, it has a B, an M, and a W, telling us all three linebackers are blitzing. It's going to tell us our Fred is working and tackle are working to the B-gap. And then because of that, our nose knows to work either to the right and the left, and they'll get. So that's kind of our simple system for our odd movements, but we can use that in any of our fronts. So that's the world we live in. If we find something new, we find a 3, 4, 5, 6-letter word to fit that call. If there is something that we can't find to fit, here's the Coach Dave's exception. The word needs to have 7 letters. We tell them there are no rules, and you will have to remember these to play. It says that in our playbook. 7-letter movements, there are no rules. You will have to remember these to play. And then I want to limit that to only 8 calls. So we go into a season, teach them 8 calls. Within a game week, we might come up with 1, but they're never going to have to memorize something crazy. And even with those 7 letters, we try to tie in different things that we've already done. The thing I didn't talk about is first is our 2-letter movement. That's telling us that our Fred and Bob, if their letter doesn't appear in that word, that they're in coverage. So this is a way to get our Fred in coverage. So an example would be MW. We're going to blitz our Mike and a Will. This is a good sim pressure for us. And our Fred and Bob are in our coverage. So those are our simple movement rules.
And those rules apply wherever they align, whether that's 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6 down front. That works across everything.
Yep, and obviously there are certain situations we can't be in a 6 down front and run a 4-letter movement because people are going to be picking people off. And so, we have essentially, if it is a 5 or 6 down or 4 down front, there's a certain amount of things, combinations that we can do going into the season that we like, and we'll have a whole page being like, these are 4, 5, and 6 down fronts with those kind of odd movement rules.
So, Coach, as you're looking at putting together a game plan on the offensive side of the ball, talked quite a bit on the podcast, depending whether it was Phil Longo or Noel Mazzoni, we were somewhere in the 24 to 26 base plays that they're going to carry in a particular game, then situational. You know, for you, with all these possibilities, there's still going to be limits to what you carry. How much do you feel is appropriate for you guys to carry into any particular week?
Yeah, so on Monday, we watch every single situation, and we talk about my call sheet's broken up too. It'll be 3 down fronts, 4 and 2 down fronts, 5 down fronts, 6 down fronts. I want to limit my total calls to only 40 calls within that week. Now, really, it's probably 30 things I for sure want to do. And then there's probably 10 things that I think super base that we can get into. And if we're having trouble, we can get to that. So my call sheet is about 40 every week. And we have a unique way of practicing that I can get about probably 140 reps of defense against those calls in a certain week. So all of our kids are going to get all those calls at least probably 3 times, if not 4.
Coach, how are you able to get that many reps? What do you guys do to, I guess, an overview of that, that you can go that fast?
One thing we've done is we've used our offensive terminology to help get the guys lined up, which has definitely been good. But one thing we like to do, and I don't do pursuit drill at practice anymore because of this, and it'll kind of make sense here in a second. Every defensive coach in the nation is probably screaming at me, but it'll make sense here in a second. We will, against our scout offense, the scout offense will get lined up, run a play against our one defense. Our one defense all pursues the football. They all get a break once they've got to the football. As that's happening, our two defense comes out on the field. We tell the offense, hey, run that same play you just ran immediately. So the offense is already getting lined up. As the offense is getting lined up, all 11 of our guys are getting their break on the one defense, and the two defense is already out on the field. They've already had their communication. They've got the signal, and the offense runs that same play again. Now, there's been certain days that we'll start the two defense first and have the one defense come in second, vice versa. I like the one defense first just so they can't cheat. If you're on my two defense, you can set back there, and you should be able to make every single play because you've seen it exactly before the play has started, which is amazing that some of these guys on the second defense do not make every single play, and I kind of show them, hey, this may be why you're not playing. You didn't make the play, and the guy in the first defense did, which is also really good about playing time because a lot of times we'll have the same exact call. On third down day, we might have different calls, so I'm seeing our one defense with my go-to call against four verts, and I'm seeing the second defense with our second call, and then when we get back to that play again, I'll put my one defense with our second call and our two defense with my first call. So I'm able to see a lot of different fronts and calls and coverages to the certain play. So on a given day, we're going to run 40 plays with the ones and 40 plays with the two. Now I'm limiting the amount of plays that my ones are going to see, but we've been in situations where it's a senior coming in to a senior season. He's never started for us, but he's been repping with me for three seasons in practice, and we don't miss a beat. So that's one thing that I really enjoy. And then we got to pursue him. So as soon as that second team pursues the football, the ones are back out. The other thing I like, and when I was a freshman in college and, you know, I'm repping with scout, is I'm sitting over there on the second team, sitting on the ground on a knee for 17 straight plays some days. And I think it's hard to be laser focused if you're a backup being on a knee for 10 minutes. Our guys don't have time to mess around at practice. It's at most, they got 30 seconds and they're back out on the field. So that's something that we've really enjoyed the last 3 years. We get a pursuit drill in practice every single day, and our twos are really ready for a game if they got to go in because they've seen just as many plays as what our ones have.
Coach, as you've looked at all these different options you have, I know you said you really like the six-down stuff you're doing. We've seen quite a bit of that this year, certainly the tight front as well. You're able to do, you know, a lot of simulated blitzes, pressures, whatever from those six-downs. What's become some of your favorite stuff? And I guess, have you seen consistent answers against that, or at least teams trying to do the same thing consistently against you?
Well, Mount Union in 2018 got into empty and ran a tunnel screen. That was kind of scary against the six down, which made me evolve to having our linebackers do some gap reading in our six down front. So we don't always necessarily bring six if we were playing cover zero against empty. But kind of the biggest thing is every team's going to be different. Some teams want to full slide the six down and get your tailback, their tailback versus, you know, traditionally a defensive end for us. That could be anyone that we want to get the tailback against if they're going to full slide. Some guys will let only a B gap linebacker one-on-one with the running back. Some teams will let my A gap mugged up linebacker free one-on-one with the running back. So it's kind of going into a game knowing, and I have to watch and be good at, what is this team going to do? A lot of teams in our league aren't doing these fronts, but when we break down, we want to make sure if it's a five down or a six down front that we tag that so I can watch it. What do they do? But because we've done this for 5 years and some of the coordinators in our league are the same, we'll go back and be like, what did they do against us last year to this? And we'll have our initial plan. But I think one thing that we've been good at is adjusting that plan because they may have full slid last year against us, but we had two or three sacks and we knew probably they're probably not going to do this again. So have our initial plan and then have a backup plan. So within on my call sheet, our six down front, I'm going to have how I want to attack them. And then if they're not full slide, what's the next best option to attack them? So we'll try to feel them out in the game, but everything in my call sheet is kind of designed to this is what their tendencies told me. This is what we like, five or six things we like to that. If their tendency is different and they've changed, this is what I might like.
And it seems to me, Coach, that with this system, the way you've structured it, at least I'm thinking your adjustments probably have become a bit easier, that you know, hey, you know, field and boundary maybe isn't the best way to set this. This is a little bit different than we planned, or they're hurting this particular guy. Now you're able to not only go to it in that front, but look at how you might do that in your other ones as well.
Yeah, no, if you're attacking a certain player, I can move that player kind of, you know, regardless. How I'm trying to attack the offense, they're sitting there and being like, man, their nose guard is a weak link. Let's always try to find a way to run power. I think that's tough against us because you're not necessarily going to know where our nose guard is every play. And then within it, even our system, we have ways to three-letter tag and switch our nose and our tackle within that front, or switch the nose and the Fred for certain things. We can essentially get our guy wherever we want. I like to say we can highlight guys or we can hide them in this system, which I think is good for us. I think it's good for a high school because you might need to have a guy you need to highlight, or you might have a guy you need to hide. And I think within the system, you're able to do both.
And Coach, I guess the last thing we didn't touch on, we did mention a little bit teaching kids the stances, but the various techniques they might need to learn, you know, playing on the ball versus playing off the ball. How do you ensure your guys are getting the training they need and developing those skills?
Yep. So every day our linebackers, and I coached our linebackers for the first three seasons here. Now I'm coaching our defensive backs. But every day our linebackers will go through what we call two-step read. So they're going to get a partner and they're going to go through their linebacker at depth, whether it's inside zone, outside zone, pull, pass set, whether they own the right shade of that lineman or the left shade. They go through all those reps, and then they come down on the line of scrimmage, and they'll go through inside, outside zone, a pull, a pass set, any sort of block we're going to see that week from a tackle, guard, or center. We're going to have them partner up, do those, and in 5 minutes, our linebackers are able to get a read from a at depth on the line of scrimmage. And then what we'll do on – we'll alternate days. So we'll say on Tuesday, you guys do all that on the line of scrimmage from a two-point stance. On Wednesday, you guys do all that from your three- or four-point stance. So in the first 5 minutes of practice, our linebackers have got all those reads. And then from there, it's just getting the reps. And listening to your podcast, we change kind of the way our whole – practice schedule went. We did away with inside run. So the way for us to get live reps is me just to call 3, 4, 5, 6 down fronts in practice, and we go team run essentially, and then we do a team pass later. And, you know, we don't tell the kids necessarily, but they're smart kids. They figure out that, hey, this might be run RPO play action. The next period might be quick game draw pass. But we're getting as many reps good on good to get those techniques with those guys. So that's kind of simply how we train it. We work it every day, and I have to call it as a coordinator in practice every day because I just don't want to go and throw our bob on line of scrimmage on Saturday when we didn't work it any of the week.
Coach, how have you liked moving to the team run period? I think, as I mentioned, I saw a lot of that last spring ball, you know, just different places we went. You know, mostly we were in the Midwest, but several colleges really eliminating inside run and going more team pass. Is that something, I'm sorry, team run, something you guys have liked?
Especially being the coordinator and I wasn't at inside, I definitely like the fact, being the DB's guy, that I'm at that period. I think it's great for our DBs because you can draw up all these things where your safety is going to fit right. But at the end of the day, if he's not practicing that, or if that's not realistic because the receiver's not digging him out, or he's not in conflict because of a route, I think it's made our practices safer. I think at some point, if you line up, it's inside run, we're a one gap defense, and my Mike knows that it's 100% run, he's going to come tee off on his A gap offensive lineman that's zoning to him. So I think it's been safer, the element of surprise a little bit that they might do something else. And then I just think the way to get better at football is playing the game of football. If I want to play trap with my corner, I just don't want to roll it out on Saturday. I want to practice it in situations. And I think for the defensive side, I like it because now I'm going to call, you know, my 60% tendency run type defenses in the team run. In the team pass, hey, if we don't have a situation, I'm going to call my 60% pass tendencies. Because I felt in the past we would handle all drop back pass and Skelly, which is great for the DBs and the receivers and the quarterbacks, but we weren't getting all the stunts and blitzes that we necessarily would like, both offensively and defensive line. And then you got to create a blitz drill period. And I just think it's easier for everyone to be together. And if you have a ton of kids, we would have our ones and twos on one half the field and our threes and fours on the other half the field. So everyone in our program was constantly getting reps, which I think was really good. And everything was getting filmed. And again, I think it's safer that, hey, my D lineman doesn't know exactly what it's going to be on every snap, and he's not going to know that on Saturday.
Well, Coach, I really loved hearing about how you put this structure together. It's just good teaching, good coaching. I'd love to have you come back on again maybe another time, and we'll talk about how the back end ties into all this. But great job in how you've put this together, and I really appreciate you sharing this with our listeners.
Yeah, if anyone needs anything, feel free to reach out to me. I'm willing to, you know, I essentially just took you through a whole entire playbook, so I'm willing to give you any information you need. At the end of the day, on defense, I feel like you got to line up and execute, and it doesn't really matter if the offense knows what you're doing if you can line up and execute and your kids can be confident in your system.
What's the best way for our listeners to connect with you, Coach?
Probably the easiest is Twitter, @spread_defense. They can email me at davis5@rose-holman, HULMAN.EU are two easy ways to get a hold of me. Probably the email is the best just because with recruiting, I have a ton of direct messages from recruits usually waiting. But any way that's easy for you, I'd love to, you know, talk ball. And some coaches actually sent a message today about sim pressures, and I shot him the film within, 10 minutes. So whatever you guys need, I'm more than willing to help.
Coach, I appreciate you being willing like that to help our listeners, to help coaches out there. And best of luck to you and the Fighting Engineers in 2020.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks for listening to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. For more resources, visit the Coach Performance Center at usafootball.com.